Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. This is Mary Blake, your host. And in her remarkable career as a seer, healer, spiritual counselor, and life coach, Ada Marie is faced with questions about business, religion, family issues, finances, career, and some you probably couldn't even imagine. Many of her answers have changed lives, saved lives, solved problems, or given clients a better way to deal with their issues. Some of those answers were surprising to her as well as her clients. So how does she come up with the answers? The Golden Oracle has a lifetime of stories to tell about working with people, using her many talents and her deep connection with spirit to answer their questions. So without further ado, welcome Ada Marie, and the show is yours.
Thank you, Mary. I'm delighted to be with you today. It's always a joy to work with you. And what you said is just, you know, it's even so awesome I can't even cover it. So it's just like, it's like when the day comes, like, okay, today a lady who I love dearly called to say that she was able to sleep last night after we spoke. And I couldn't even remember what I said to her when we spoke. I said, well, Mary, I can't remember what we're talking about. what happened? And she said, well, it was really simple. She said to me, I ask you how to go to sleep, and you told me, you said, when I lay down, to shut my mouth, shut my eyes, and I would be asleep. And it happened. How did it happen? I said, well, let me explain this to you. When I was a little girl, my grandma taught us, kids, there was lots of us, many of us, it was about, during the Depression days, it was about 16 of us all, families, and 16 kids in this group of family lived together. And we slept on the floor. So we didn't have pillows, we just slept on the floor, okay? Now, my grandma said, now pay attention. I want you to shut your mouth, shut your eyes. Now you're asleep. Well, believe it or not, we did go to sleep. And so I grew up knowing that when I had children, I taught my kids. When I put them to bed, we said their prayers and put them to bed. I said, okay, shut your mouth, shut your eyes, and now you're asleep. And they would go to sleep. So as the years went by, and many years, they slept that way. They would shut their mouth, that would turn off their head. They would shut their eyes, and then it would be dark, and they would go to sleep. Well, my one daughter married into a family of insomniacs, and she'd lay down, she'd shut her mouth, she'd shut her eyes, and she'd go to sleep, and her husband would wake her up. He'd say, stop that. And you know, he just couldn't stand it because she'd lay down, shut her mouth, shut her eyes, and go to sleep. So finally, in desperation, she called me up and she says, Mother, what can I do? I said, well, tell him what you're doing. Tell him if he lays down on his back with his hands to his sides and shuts his mouth and shuts his eyes, he'll go pleasantly to sleep. Well, she did. But he, in all the years they've been married now, almost 50 years, he still hasn't mastered the whole process, but he can sleep better at night. But when I made my relaxation tape that I, you know, that I have on the market on my site, the process is there. And people who have downloaded it say, I've never had anything that goes through my body and puts me to sleep before I even get to my heels. Sometimes I don't even get to my toes. And we start laughing because sleep is to turn off the mundane activities of the day, turn them over to God, and let yourself just be in the presence of the divine. That's basically what it's about. Yeah. So I oftentimes get a question about sleep, and that's how I answer it, Mary.
Let me ask you, is there a special thing that you go through before you answer a question to prepare you to answer?
When I get a call, I clear, you know, I may be considered not thinkable, but when I get a call, the first thing I do is I say, okay, Father, we'll do our best. You just direct the words of my mouth, the deeds of my hands and feet, and the meditation of my heart, that we assist this call. And I go through that a dozen times a day, Mary, or more. And again today, a lady called, has been on my healing circle for, I think, about 18 or 19 years. And she had called the other day and had an interview for a job. And I told her, you know, as long as she would have the knowing that she would have the job, she would have it. So when she called today, she didn't, I knew her voice, but she said, Ada, I have and have had the knowing. And guess what? I have the job.
Fantastic.
But see, 90% of it is the individual, Mary. If they have the knowing, if there's no fear, no doubt, no nonsense, and they have the knowing, then they have completed the cycle. God moves in and takes care of things. But you have to have the knowing. You have to have the insight to know that He is in charge. Not you and I, but Him.
Yes.
When I go to Him and ask for something for someone, bingo, they got it. When I sent you a healing last week, bingo, you got it.
There you go.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Now,
what it is. It's a mental release of mundane affairs. Now, that's is about as simple as it can be said. You just clear your mind of all activities, human activities, mundane activities, and you put in your request, give thanks and be grateful, and then just wait. It'll come. Will happen. People
Do you
call,
feel like answering a question now?
Pardon?
Do you feel like answering a question now?
I feel it when it goes through me.
Yes. Because we have someone who's been waiting quite a while. I was wondering if it would be okay for you if he or she could ask a question.
Certainly. Of course it's okay.
Oh, good. 1 second.
Hello,
Hello?
Avery. Hi,
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, and who is this?
Hi, this is Patty.
Hi, Patty. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a question. So two things. One, I'd like to get on your healing list, and I'm sure I can do that on your website.
No, you cannot. You have to call me personally to do that.
Okay. I will call you later. But my question is, I have a project that I finally feel like I've cleared. I'm just what you were talking about. I know it's on track, and I've got it in my mind. But the contractor who I'm working with always seems to panic and the sky is falling. So how do I counter his constant issue or fear?
Well, you can't conquer his fear, but he must. In other words, if he's the one setting up the dark wall and continuously does it or finds something wrong with every issue, then you have one choice, and that is to get a new contractor to work with.
Well, I was hoping maybe I could put up some kind of wall, you know.
Now, wait a minute. Are you talking about a contractor that you do business with that goes out and works for people?
I'm talking about a building contractor.
Okay.
Who I've hired to work.
You hired him to work for you?
Correct. But, well, he's a subcontractor. I didn't hire him directly. But he has delayed my project multiple times. He always seems to find an issue.
Okay.
Sounds like a question of self-esteem on his part.
Well, it could be, but what you need to do is go back to the main contractor and speak with him, the one who hired this guy.
Yes, I can do that. And if I got rid of him, it would get rid of him in one sense, it would also put me behind weeks finding a replacement. So I was looking for kind of a way to help clear him of his fears so that I didn't have to do that. Or help, maybe I visualize it and then his fears go away. I guess I'm a little wondering if there's something.
Okay, then what you have to do, if you can't talk to him and tell him that his fear creates a problem and get him to understand that directly, talk to him and tell him, you create a problem because you set up this fear that you make materialize. Because that's what he's doing.
Right.
Everything can be fine, and he comes in and says, oh, but, And then what happens? Everything stops.
I keep hearing you're better than you think you are.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense to you, Ida Marie?
What?
Does that make any sense to you? You're better, that if Patty can tell him you're better than you think you are, you can do this.
Well, you'd have to say to him, you know, you did a wonderful job. Nobody could do it any better. I think the problem is that the man is prolonging the job. That's what I think is going on.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I think there's a little bit of that. And so the job was delayed by unforeseen circumstances that had nothing to do with him. But now it's corrected, right? So I don't
right.
need him. You know, so there's no need for him to be in panic mode again.
No, there isn't. If the job is done, then he can just go away.
Right.
It's just telling that, you know, it's nice, everything's perfectly fine, you're content, and dismiss him.
She's saying the problem is taken care of. The problem is eliminated.
I guess my question is, I'm going to be, he has about 3 weeks worth of work left.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you saw him, like, staying on track.
Well, on the job he's on now?
On my job, yes.
Yes. He can stay on track as long as people don't interfere with his work every day. You know, if people come in and start talking to him, that throws him off.
Right.
He has to concentrate.
Right.
It isn't that he can't do a good job, but he has to be able to be left alone to do it.
Okay. I think he'll get all that. I don't think that'll be the problem. I just, you know, I think sometimes, you know, people build up in their mind issues that aren't there.
Right. And if they say something, let them know there's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
You know, I used to contract tile for a company, and they would ask these ridiculous questions, really, that didn't apply. But I would satisfy them by saying, you know, this job is made in such a way that the people doing it are professional, and they can do it right. And if this man is a professional and you let him know that he is a professional, he'll do it right.
Okay.
Because a lot of it is his self-esteem that has to be brought up.
Right.
You have to make him feel like you trust this energy. And if something goes wrong, let him know that that isn't exactly what you had in mind.
Okay.
You know, that's what to do. And if you want to be on the healing circle, you must call after 4 o'clock or later, or 4:30. Aren't we off at 4:30, Mary? And I'm up until 7. And it's right.
Well, Patty, where are you calling from?
New York. So I'm on the East Coast. So I know
okay,
not to call early, and I will wait.
Okay.
Well, Ada Marie is in Arizona, so it's 3:45 her time. So
yeah.
You are available for the next couple of hours, aren't you?
And at
hours.
5 o'clock, I'll be able to be on the phone. My time.
Oh,
5 o'clock, my
o'clock
time.
Your time. Great.
So that's
okay.
8 o'clock our time.
Yeah,
good.
It's 520-896-9510.
Okay, great.
Okay, and I'll be happy to talk with you then.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And from me, I can just say, Patty, when you approach him, you look at him, you just think, without saying it, you're looking at him and saying, you're doing a terrific job. You're doing a terrific job. It's a great. I love what you're doing, and that energy will support him as
well. That will move into him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything. Thoughts are things. There is no other way to really understand life. Even little children express this. Thoughts are things. And when they think about crawling across the floor, they crawl across the floor. But until they can comprehend crawling, they don't crawl, right?
Right.
You know, when my kids were tiny, I got on the floor and crawled. So they crawled too. We played. And today, I don't think your parents do that kind of a thing, but it's good because they should crawl before they walk. Do you know why? It helps their coordination. So when they finally stand up and walk, they're a little more coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good for them.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is that we need to have a belief in the people
right.
that we're working with,
right.
and the
you
children
have to
we're raising, and they and in
yeah.
our friends that we work with, you know, that we live with.
That you can trust them and that you like them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until they show you different.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Oh, terrific.
Sweetie.
Thank you, Patty. That was a great question.
Okay.
It was a good question.
Alrighty. Yeah. So when we're working together now, as you're thinking about some of the things that people have asked you, I'm fascinated at the what's the craziest thing anybody asks you, Kristen, that anybody asks you?
Well, I don't know. They've asked me some pretty crazy things. You know, one guy said to me, I'm 5'7". I said,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that's wonderful. No, he said, I want to be 6'7". What can I do? I said, well, sir, I don't know what you can do, and I'm not seeming to get an answer. But if you stand straight and you smile, you could be 4'7" and people would love you.
Mm-hmm.
So, or you could be 9'7" and they would love you as long as you wore a smile and were happy.
Uh-huh.
And he said, well, why does everybody tell you to smile? I said, because isn't it more pleasant when you're walking down the street to see somebody that's smiling at you than somebody that's frowning? Well, I never thought about it. I said, well, think about it. When you're walking home tonight, think about it. Smile. You'll see they'll smile back. And then they'll smile at somebody else, and you'll smile at somebody else, and you'll feel good when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's contagious. A smile is a contagious thing. But, I mean,
sure
you'd think that anybody could look in the mirror and figure that out. That they look better smiling
yeah.
than they did frowning.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, but questions like that come all the time, Mary.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
But that's a question oftentimes asked. What can I do to make people like me? Well, the answer is smile.
Mm-hmm.
Smile. Keep your mouth shut and smile, you know. And sometimes it's a sharp, people have a very sharp tongue, and all they got to do is open their mouth and everybody leaves. They just chase everybody away because they're so outspoken. In fact, I have a case like that going on right now. And this man is so overbearing and outspoken that the kids don't like him. The kids at school don't like him. And, of course, they don't, because he's lording over them, so to speak.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
It goes without saying, what you present of yourself is what people are going to, the first impression is what people are going to think of you, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, that's whether it's on the phone, whether it's walking down the street, whether it's at work, that's the thing. It's going to be the first thing that people see and remember, your posture, your attitude, your energy pattern is around you, and people pick it up.
Yeah.
Even people who think that they don't see anything see. They do see. Everybody sees.
Yeah, for sure.
You tell me that you can't see. Of course you can see. You feel it in your heart. It isn't in your eyes. It's in your heart.
Yes.
That's how you feel. You feel with your heart. Or your fingers. You can feel with your fingers, too. I do that.
Yes.
But basically, when you're out and about and you're among people, the feeling is the energy you receive when you meet the people or you see the people, correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, a lot.
You have a lot of people calling about jobs and
all the time. I probably have 6 people right now working on a job to get a job, and today one lady got one. So there are people on LinkedIn. They keep coming back onto my site and telling me, well, you know, they got a job. I'm grateful. They say thank you, and my answer is, you got the job. You did the correct energy pattern for you that fits you, that made you liked and cared about, and you were hired. It isn't some kind of a miracle. It's something that you yourself have to project in a friendly, interesting, intelligent, happy manner. And I helped a man who contracted tile, and I would get clients for him. Everybody loved him. He laughed and laughed, and he'd be down on his hands and knees laying this tile, humming away, whistling away, you know. I mean, I didn't have any problem getting him jobs. We just had problems getting him done.
Oh, really?
Because he was such a friendly person. He would go to bid the job, and he would get it for sure. And people loved him. And then another man came and asked me if I would help him because he was going to do that flooring, whatever, that wood-like flooring. I couldn't sell one job for that man. He'd go in there, and he'd be so overbearing and overpowering and so know-it-all that nobody would hire him.
Oh, dear.
And I told him, I said, you know, if you're going to talk to people like they're stupid, they're not going to hire you.
That's for sure.
Then you need to meet them on an equal level.
Uh-huh.
Help them, but they're not going to hire you when you talk like this.
Uh-huh.
And so I got him 3 jobs, and he failed every one of them.
Oh, my.
So I didn't do that anymore.
You set up appointments for him, and he ruined it.
Yeah, he did.
He
told them that isn't what they should have in their house. They should have this, this, and this. Well, that isn't what they wanted. You know, they're paying the bill. If they wanted wood, they should have wood. If they wanted something carpet, they should have carpet. I mean, that's. But I've done a lot of work in my time because I had a lot of kids to feed, And I sold coin-operated laundries for years over seven states.
Uh-huh.
And again, when you went in and explained it, back in the days in the 50s and 60s when they came out, people were scared
mm-hmm.
to death of coin-operated laundries. Now, if you had one, honey, you wouldn't have to worry the rest of your life. Everybody uses them.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Absolutely. But you just had to, you definitely had to convince people that they worked okay.
Well, what you did was, when you built a store, you had an opening and you went around and showed every single person that came in how to use a machine, not to overload
mm-hmm.
it, how to use it correctly, and
mm-hmm.
it was a do-in. Really, it was.
Yeah,
it was wonderful.
Yeah. It was a new technology.
It was a new technology.
Isn't that interesting? I imagine that you have tons and tons of people calling you and asking about romance and marriages and all kinds of things. How do you handle that?
Well, it depends on what the energy comes to tell them. A lot of times it tells them to be patient.
Mm.
It's amazing, Mary, how people are, and I've heard it said to them many times, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Just be patient, you know. This is something new, be patient. Pay attention and be patient.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, patience is not a virtue. It's something they have to acquire because they want something, but they want it. Now, they were not taught patience as children, and they're worse today than they were way back then.
Mm. My goodness.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we have someone else who would like to ask a question. Are you ready? Are you?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay.
Honey. I'm
Hold
just
on
sitting
a second.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
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 Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, sure. Who are we speaking with?
My name is Carrie.
Hi. Okay. What would you like to ask, Anna Marie?
I'm a first-time listener. I just stumbled upon your show this evening, and sometimes I feel spirit guides me to certain shows, if you will, and
That's
I don't call
great.
On too
uh-huh.
frequently. I have some changes going on in my life. And I just was kind of open to any messages that may come through. I mean, I'm not sure if that's too general, but I am, you know, I've come through a period of transition. I've had a lot of loss in my life over the past 2 years, and I learned a lot from that, and I'm making decisions regarding my future now as a result of it with regards to property that I may or may not have inherited. It's still up in the air. So I was actually seeking some guidance, you know, maybe surrounding that.
Around property.
Well, it's not just the property. I think it's the family legacy. I'm an only child, and I've lost all my grandparents, my father. You know, I still have my mom here. You know, and it wasn't always an easy road, but I feel like the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, is here. And making some decisions now, I feel like I'm having a spiritual awakening of my own. And
mm-hmm.
just wanted to see if anything maybe could be validated for me in that regard.
There isn't a question here to be answered. There's a whole book of stuff to study, you know.
There is.
So you're not really asking a question. You're asking if you should be studying spiritual work. Yes, you should.
Well, my question would be whether or not it would be a good decision.
Of course it'd be a good decision.
I'm just at odds. My remaining family members, sort of a contentious situation, so there's no way to foresee the future. I sort of have given it to the universe. I think I have a good head on my shoulders, but I'm just, you know, afraid of that what if. What else do you know? I've sort of weathered a couple bombs being dropped, if you will. So,
did you get that, Mary?
Yes, I did. I was wondering if there is someone in the family who is resisting you, who is a, who is against your ideas.
Yeah, there is.
There must be more than one.
There's two brothers. One isn't really involved, and there is another who has been trying to play a game of chess, if you will.
Hmm.
Well, and it's your property, correct?
It was my father's and my grandmother's, and they are both deceased. But I've lived here my whole life. It was pretty much my father's. It's just the way the documents were written. They weren't exactly taken care of properly. So
now,
I just don't think they were remaining in family hands. But
is the property equally to be equally distributed, or does the will offer it to you alone?
It's equally distributed, but I should have the option to buy them out, and they have not followed the language in the will to offer me that option. So I'm now addressing that.
So one brother is using the is trying to influence the other brother so that the two of them can work against you. Is that correct?
Right. But the will is written that it should have been offered to my father first. My father predeceased my grandmother, so I'm his only heir, and I'm now treated as him. So they don't treat me like that, though.
Are these half-brothers? Do you have the same mother?
Do they? Oh, yes. They're all the same family. My grandfather, he passed a very long. He passed in the 80s. But and then my grandmother passed a year ago in May. My father passed mm-hmm. 2 years ago in July.
Okay.
And did they leave the property to you?
It was between me and my grandmother. But it was just the way the property was written. You know, the legal documents were written that way. It was always my father's. He lived here for 35 years. It's an income property. There's multi-units, so I have tenants that I basically took care of without any question, and no one else offered to help. But now they would like us all to sell it, and they are supposed to offer me the property first, according to the will, but never chose to. I'm addressing that, so I'm following that path, but I have to, you know, I was looking for some spiritual guidance as far as, you know what, sometimes life isn't equal, and he's trying to make it equal so that he can make out better. But it's not about that. It's just about the fact that it was written that way now. So I have to get some inner guidance with regards to, you know, sort of a negative situation, I guess, if you will, but I'm not feeding into the negativity.
I'm puzzling about the lawyer in question.
He hired a lawyer on behalf of my grandmother, but it's only working for him, not for all of us. So I hired my own lawyer.
That's what I was afraid of. So you somehow, what can we do about the lawyer?
Get a new one.
I have a lawyer. His lawyer is supposed to be for all of us, but it's just working for him. So
mm-hmm.
they've been doing some things that are not very positive, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound very positive.
My grandmother's name was Mary, too, by the way.
Usually, in cases like that, your best shot, and for most of my people who run into this, and now it'll be with a sister or brother or some cousin, I tell them to sit down very quietly at night and talk to the man upstairs and ask him to give you the solution to make peace and harmony and correct the condition.
So maybe I've already done the work then.
Well, do it again. And do it again. You may have to do it for a month because nothing upstairs is on a timeline. Trust me, nothing upstairs is on a timeline. He acts when the time is right. Now, people say, well, I didn't get anything. I said the time is not right.
Yep.
When the time is right, the master acts.
When the time is right?
Yep, when the time is right. And you just hold the truth to be self-evident, and the truth will set you free, and the master will straighten it out. Now,
the other
not
thing
very
is expect a miracle.
Not very long ago, well, about 4 years ago, I heard the same story from somebody, and I said to the lady, I said, I'll tell you what, I want you to ask God to straighten this out. She said, I have. I've asked him for 3 years. I said, well, keep asking, because let him know that you have absolute faith in him, and before you know it, this fight will be over. Okay? She called me back. A weird way, she called me back and she said, my birthday was yesterday. Like, what's this got to do with it? She said, my birthday was yesterday, and this morning my uncle passed away.
Uncle was the one that was
right. That was her problem. And he passed away the day after her birthday. I said, well, that's a birthday present. You better thank God.
You know what? I mean, I have goosebumps right now after you told that story, because I had a dream very similar to that. And I just kept saying, people close to me, I have a new person in my life, relationship is my mom. And, you know, I mean, we're not family, obviously. You know, it's already been done. There's no going back from this. But I feel like I just wanted this to be done by my birthday. And my birthday is August 5th. So,
well, you ask God to make the crooked way straight. You just say to him, Father, I need your assistance to make the crooked way straight. Now, I can't tell you how many years of raising my children alone that I've had to say to him, okay, Father, you have to make the crooked way straight. I can't do any more. I just have to leave it to you. And he has straightened it out. And I was stabbed 26 times, and they gave me 6 months to a year to live. That was in 1972, on Friday the 13th. Well, this is 2016.
Wow.
I'm perfectly healthy, and Mary can tell you, she and I have sat together. She knows how healthy I am. But
wow,
all I said was, okay, Father, you have to do this. I can do nothing. And I didn't go back to the doctor, and I didn't take the medicine they gave me, and I called my grandmother, and today I am a healthy woman, aren't I,
wow,
Mary?
That's beautiful.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But you can take any condition in your life, turn it over to the Father, and then follow the promptings that you get. You're not going to hear a voice talk to you. You're going to get a notion in your head and follow the prompting when that prompting appears to fit the condition. Now, a lady came in the other day, and I said, now what are you doing? Well, I don't like the way that this person does. I said, it's none of your business. You don't own that house. If you don't like it, move out. And
that's funny.
Said,
to that as well.
Yeah, she said, well, I thought you could.
Advice.
Yeah, she said, I thought you could fix it. I said, there's nothing to fix. You're the problem. Move.
Yep, absolutely. You can't force other people to change their ways.
Right.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. what I'm saying is, if you're in a situation and there's no way to go, go straight to the force upstairs. Talk directly to them, thank them, be grateful, and I'm right now holding a phone in my right arm, which was severed in 1971.
Wow.
72.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to you on a phone held in that arm. In my hand,
God.
I mean.
Wow.
It didn't come back instantly. It's taken me years to work that arm enough every day to get it to work. But it works just fine today.
Wow.
You do a lot of heavy work with that arm, too.
I still do a lot of heavy work with it now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Mary, if people just knew that if they have called on him, he will answer. He may not answer instantaneously. Sometimes he does instantaneously answer. But most of the time, it comes slowly and in different ways. So I can't tell you the many different ways that the answer comes, because there are millions of different ways. And it is your gratitude and your patience and your ability to sustain happiness, joy, and peace of mind that give you your answers. That's where they come from.
And also, it may not show up in the way you expected it to.
That's right. It usually don't.
To be able to recognizing it and acknowledge it. And sometimes things that seem that they went the worst way they could possibly go, it turns out that it had to get that bad in order to get good.
Right.
It did. And that's very true. In my situation, I was with a boyfriend like when my father had passed, and we had parted ways early last year. And unfortunately, he passed away in a tragic accident in September. And I sort of just was like, why am I going through the cycles of losing these people close to me? Even though we weren't dating at the time, we still had a home in which I helped them, you know, clean out and everything. And sure enough, I mean, I obviously was not looking for anything or anyone. And I mean, I've had a lot of, you know, work to do here with this property situation. Just felt like there was no one that I could really turn to because the two men, you know, obviously closest to me were no longer here.
Sure.
And someone came into my life that I had met previously, you know, a few years ago. And he's given me, you know, sort of like lit a fire underneath me, if you will, for all the good reasons, because there's nothing to gain in his situation. And it's just been nice to have someone
good
just show up without expecting that. And I wasn't looking for it, but we worked together. And, you know, I mean, it's just
good thing miracles happen every day. And usually you're not looking for the miracle when it does happen.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's so important to be grateful, and to
yeah, it's
and to
extremely important to
give
be grateful.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about it, it's sort of it all comes together, and that's where I'm at now. So again, I know my question wasn't really a concise question; it was just more or less. You don't think family will treat you like that, but then again, family is just a title. I mean, it's really about the people operating under
heavens. Yes. You know, I work a great deal with other incarnations, and sometimes we find that the what we call family that should be on our side happens to be an old enemy from another lifetime.
Right. That is so true,
we
Mary.
Have to work
Holy
through
Moses.
Yeah, that actually is true because my father is the third brother. He was the middle child, and the oldest brother just like he's not part. Like, what family were you part of for you know the past? I'm 30. I'll be 31. So I'm like, I've been here for 30 years. Like, where do you know? Our family didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't recreate it. I mean, we have witnesses. So it's just sort of like, who are you? And then, you know, my other uncle is just sort of like whatever. And you know, today actually he finally spoke up regarding it, and I received an email for the first time in a year and a half from him addressing a situation. So that was like that thing that was going to change everything around. So I actually finally have someone else who's backing up what I've been saying all along.
Right. Well, you know, you do have two families. You have the family you were born into and the family that you create. And sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're different. So, and there are sometimes a combination of the people we brought into our life and the people that were there when we came in. So.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, thank you, Delaney, so much for talking to me. I appreciate it.
Well, you're most welcome, my dear.
And I think probably what your question was help me to understand exactly my situation and what to do about it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying to be able to not second guess myself, and it's just I've always been very intuitive, and I mean as a child even, and I'm open to everything, but it's sort of the art of discernment and discerning and really honing in on like what messages, like what is to be learned here in all of the situations throughout everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a bad habit of talking yourself out of your intuition?
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
stop
she it. Does. She don't
stop
listen.
That.
Start acting on those intuitive sendings. They're called sendings. And start acting on them. You know, figure them out and act on them accordingly. To
and
your best interest. Okay.
Thank you very much.
And is it Cherry? Is it what's your name?
Kerry with a K.
Kerry. Okay.
Kerry. Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. And Ada Marie, give Kerry your phone number because she will be needing you in the next couple of weeks. So,
okay.
Okay.
Got a pencil?
Yep.
520-896-9510. I'm in Arizona.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey, and you have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, we're back to some of those interesting questions and the unusual way you have handled the questions that people come to you. I know that you've saved lives. I know that.
Oh yes, many times. I've extended people's lives as much as 40 years, and one man who I dearly loved and is still alive, and he's in his 90s, and he had his heart attack at 57, and I treated him, went to West Virginia to treat him and take care of him, and he's now in a nursing home because he has Alzheimer's or something?
Yes. Uh-huh.
But, you know, he's still alive and he's in his 90s.
Fabulous, yeah.
But
he wasn't supposed to live very long, I gather. But,
well, maybe not, but, you know, he has such a good sense of humor and he's very happy, even though he is mentally not aware of us, he is happy. Even
that's
now,
good.
In his condition,
that's
he's
good.
A happy man. And it's interesting why, you know, I think what he did was, you know, people can buy time so they can live longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they can buy time. And I think he bought time.
Mm-hmm.
When after he had that heart attack, I think he bought some time because I told him he could buy time. And,
did he change,
you know,
did he change
as long
his
as he was
job
productive.
Or his way of thinking?
Huh?
Did he change
People,
his job he, or his way of thinking? Or?
Well, he retired. He retired is what he did. He didn't change his job. He retired.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think people don't realize is, just like I have another client who recently has bought some time, but he can't get around. And if he could get around, it would be fine to buy time.
Mm-hmm.
But to buy time and then lay in bed for 5 or 10 years, that'll be miserable.
That doesn't make any sense at all, does it?
No, but they don't think. And so now I quit assisting people who wanted to buy time. I say to them, look, what you're doing is, you're wanting things to stay the way they are today. They're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Things change.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're in a constant flux. So before you think about doing something like that, just remember that things do change. Someone wanted to stay alive to watch their grandson grow up to be 10 years old. So the grandson would remember them. Well, they became immobilized. And not able to get around and play. So what is a grandson going to remember?
Yes.
You know, that doesn't compute. That's not very swift.
It doesn't make any sense at all. No.
No, it doesn't. But that's what I'm saying.
So sometimes when the people think they're solving, they're getting away with something, they're just creating a problem for themselves that they didn't need.
That they shouldn't be creating for themselves, you know, and they really shouldn't create those problems for themselves. And, that's why I say if you go with the flow, and you get a message about something that you don't understand, you just ask God for insight. I have a wonderful lady who is very spiritual, and she hasn't been well lately. And she just, you know, she said, I would like to go. And I said, you know better than anybody that answer is up to him. It's not up to me. It's not even up to you. It's up to God. So just be patient. Your turn will come. Her husband's been dead for quite a while now.
Uh-huh.
And she's missing her husband, which is natural.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness. That's a natural thing.
Right.
So I just think if people went about their business taking care of the things they can and doing what they can, then they wouldn't have these problems.
Mm-hmm.
They would be peaceful.
Yeah. Well, how
of course,
do you
I could be wrong,
someone?
Mary. I'm not.
How do you handle someone who's a big executive or who has big decisions to make? How does that work with you? And I know many people who are in very important positions have consulted from time to time.
And they have, and they have. I just early this year. I guess it was last December, I got a call from a lady whose husband had had a heart attack at 62. He was a CEO. He quit his business. I mean, he retired afterward. And when she called me, he had just passed away. He was 92 years old when he passed. And the answer from her was, you know, Ada, you prolonged his life. He was a workaholic, of course, naturally. That's the way those people are. And he retired, and they traveled. They traveled around the world. They went everywhere. They had a good time. They spent time living in Italy for a number of years. They were comfortable. They came back to the States. But you see, he had worked hard, and he had done enough. And I said, it's up to you. Go back to work and die at your desk. Or retire. You can retire. You could have retired 25 years ago. But you can retire now, and you're okay. So he said to her, he went home and said to her, he said, well, I'm turning in my resignation. I'll give him 30 days. And they left, and he got better. He got over his heart attack. He did everything I told him to do, because there's certain things you have to do if your heart is giving you a problem. You got to take care of it now, not 5 years from now when you can't.
That's right.
But he did all the things I told him. He went, and then they left. And every once in a while, I'd get a card from them from someplace, who knows where. And she called last November and said, she called me up and she said, I finally found you, because we'd moved to Arizona. We lived in California for years. She said, you know, Tom passed away, 92 years old. And she said, we had a wonderful life. We had a wonderful life. We did the things that we always thought we'd want to do. We stopped the world, got off, and did our thing.
Ah, that's wonderful.
So that was wonderful. I was happy for her.
You know, and I'm getting the word. There's many ways to exercise the heart, and one is using it to love and create happiness and
in others.
And yes. Making others happy and yourself, and that exercises the heart.
Right, because it exercises the brain. You know, when you create joy and love, divine pure love. Now, let me tell you something. I tell this to every single person that I work with. Divine pure love is love that is real love from God. It is not love like sexual love or human love or any of that stuff. When you tell somebody you are sending them divine pure love, you are sending the healing from God, that divine love, through you to them. And you cannot believe how many people cannot understand that. Mm-hmm. Even though they feel better and they get better, they never quite understand what divine pure love is. But what mm-hmm. it is, truly, is the fact that you have cleared your energy. You have no opinion. You just have an energy strength to send to them that divine pure love. Mm-hmm. And what they do with it is up to them.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've seen people that have come and a man called me up on drugs, and he'd been dried out by his brother, a doctor, 5 times. I spent one day with that man, talked to him, showed him how to use divine pure love. He never took another pill of any kind. Today, this is 37 or 40 years later, he is still alive, he is healthy, he is working, and he has never touched another drug at the end of that time. And I told him, I said, you know, Jesus used the words, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you use those words, I am the resurrection and the life, and your thoughts are on a positive energy, whether it's positive health or finances or whatever, you will have that, because the resurrection and the life sets you anew to have that power. And anyone alive can use it. Any individual alive can use those words that Jesus used. I am the resurrection and the life, and they will receive the bountiful benefits of that.
Good.
I'm telling you, it worked. It has always worked, and it will continue to work. No matter what your circumstances are, if you can say that and say it with your heart, I am the resurrection and the life, miracles will start to pop into your world so fast you can't believe it.
Good.
Things will come. People will show up. Things will come by. All kinds of wonderful miracles happen. But people don't see miracles.
Toward the end, and I want you to give people your website and perhaps your email way to get in touch with you.
Oh, okay. My website is The Golden Oracle, and my email address is AdaMarie@TheGoldenOracle. And my phone number is 520-896-9510. And today I'm not taking calls till 5 o'clock, but normally I start taking calls at 6 a.m., and I go to bed at 7 at night. So if you call me, you have to call between 6 a.m. and around 6:30, because I do need some rest.
And in order to get onto your prayer circle...
Oh,
they need to call you directly. Is that right?
They have to call. That is correct. There's a reason for that. To be on the prayer circle, you pay by the month, and I take your credit card over the phone. And then if you call me, like just recently, one lady was out of work, and she called and asked if she could be exempt from the circle for 3 months. I said, absolutely. If that's what you need, you go ahead. The circle allows you to have 1 hour of counseling, which is $100 an hour, every month, whenever you have need of it, and you can call any time. In case of an emergency, if like we had the lady in the hospital and her son called, I stayed on the phone most of the night with that call because he needed help. So... you know, I'm there. If you're one of my family on that circle, I'm there for you. So you can call, you can join it, but you have to call to join it. You cannot join it over the phone or you can call over the phone, but not the internet. You have to call me directly. So 520-896-9510. And I thank you, Mary. This has been a really wonderful day.
Well, we just have to thank everyone who called, everyone who's listening in, and wish them, as we always do, love and light.
That's right. And divine pure love and light surrounds all of you. God bless you. Good day.
Thank you. And we are looking forward to our next call next Wednesday at 6:30 New York time, 3:30 Arizona time. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye. Too, Mary. I love you.
I'll call you in a minute.
Bye-bye.
Bye.